Hello and welcome back to the Rigged Recap, where Kayla and I are in mourning because as Megami's defense attorneys, we really lost this week.
We really lost. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you a question because you're watching UK versus the World 2 and I am not. I have only seen like low-res images of that Scarlet Envy look, and I have not stopped thinking about it. What is the context? Can you just really quickly tell me what the context
the
is?
The really good one or the really bad one?
The bad one, the one where she's like shirtless kind of.
Okay,
deal? What is the category? Like, I just need to get that out of the way first.
They had to do a Prince Charming, a Lady Prince Charming look.
Oh, that's a fun category. I like that category.
But none of them actually did the category, like, actually.
Oh, that's annoying.
She actually hit the category perfectly. It's just her garment was egregious. But it was supposed to be, like, she was in battle fighting a dragon.
Okay.
And won. And it's, like, her walking out of the battle, like, clothes torn up and like,
oh, that's like a fun concept. I wonder why it was executed so poorly from what I've seen.
There's so many good ways that you could do that weren't that. As Matthew says, he will always be a hater for anything that involves low-rise jeans.
Valid. Thank you for answering that question because I've only ever seen low-res images of it, and I'm sure they have like high-res images of it somewhere, but every time I'm like, that's a cursed photograph that has been haunting me for like 4 days, so I'm just gonna get the context in like in this way because I think that's funny.
No, there could definitely be like a creepypasta on it in like a year.
I like the concept too. Damn,
did you see her ball gown?
That I did see. I did live for that.
Okay, so tell me why. Listen, I've had Miss Mangle on Drag Duel. I watch Miss Mangle every day that she posts a video. Why did Mira Mangle and Scarlet Cyanide love the prince look and hated the ball gown look and says that the ball gown look was the one that kept her from the top?
Not you calling out Mira on this broadcast.
I was shocked.
Okay, well, now I know.
This past episode was much better. The first episode, I was like, The second episode was really, really good.
Gotcha. Okay. Maybe I should just watch it, because I am, like, this is going to just be every week now, is me being like, hey, Derek, what happened on UK versus the World, because I didn't
You can
watch
genuinely
it.
Skip the first episode and just go into the second, and you'll be fine.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's get back to season 16.
Where a lot happened.
This was a crazy episode.
This was another fucking banger of an episode.
I am really feeling season 16. Although I'm not pleased with this elimination, overall, I am looking forward to the episodes every week, and that's not necessarily anything I could say consistently about seasons 13, 14, and 15. So we're on the upswing, even though I have some issues with how this episode played out at the end.
I agree. And this is one of those weeks where the person that we're talking about in the daily discourse is also someone we're going to be talking about in the actual episode. So, Kayla,
yes,
why don't you take that away?
So, we are discussing all things Megami in the daily discourse because pretty much since the first episode that she appeared in, she's been getting sort of a negative reception on Reddit in particular, definitely on other social media platforms, but if you go to, like, the RPDR Cringe subreddit, parts of SDR Untucked, hi guys, I know some of you are listening.
Fuck you.
We come in peace, except for Derek. Derek wants violence. But, you know, she's just been kind of the subject of everyone's ire because she kind of does not have the personality that you know, this particular fandom is a fan of. It doesn't always translate well on TV. That doesn't mean that she's a bad queen. And so she's, I would argue, has been getting a disproportionate amount of hate on there. And I think she turned it around a little bit within these last two episodes, but it's still, if you go there, it's a lot of, like, you know, Megami was on the wrong show, Megami's not good at drag, Megami's the Eeyore of drag, and it all kind of culminated with this whole Reddit conspiracy in which somebody claimed that Megami had a burner account where she was, like, high-key defending herself against Reddit trolls, and the whole basis for that was a thread in which she was talking, like, you know, she was talking with somebody who was, like, complimenting Megami, and, or this account, rather, and then the account commented, thank you, as if, like, the account was Megami herself. Now, that is, like, a big stretch for me, because it could very much just be someone, like, going, oh, thank you, I agree with that point that you made. Which is is pretty common. I see that on Reddit a lot. And then people were like, oh, is this Megami on a burner account? And then that account disappeared. And so now people are calling Megami, like, the queen of cringe, and she's kind of just been the center of everything post this episode. So talk to me about Megami, Derek, as her defense attorney.
Well, I feel like you're right. The last couple of episodes before this past one, people were starting to, you know, like, oh, she's got something going on. She won a challenge. She had a really good look in the doll challenge. And, you know, people weren't, like, standing her, but they were definitely, like, more on the Megami train than they were originally. And all it took was one episode for them to, like, jump ship immediately. There's always just one queen that the fandom doesn't vibe with, and they will do literally any tiny little reason to go after this queen, they will take. Unfortunately, Megami is that queen. She's also a queen of color. She's also a plus-size queen. Shocker.
Who could have seen this coming?
Literally. It's just, like, annoying to me because, like, she seems like such a chill person, and, like, maybe she's not making the best TV, which she proved wrong this episode because she was making great TV. But, like, why does that mean that you can be a bitch to her and, like, she can just be easy cannon fodder to make fun of? Like, I don't know. It's gross.
And also, it always kind of comes back to the fact that, like, you cannot vibe with somebody's personality on the show, whatever, you don't connect to them. You know, we feel that way about Plain Jane. Am I gonna say because I don't personally connect to Plain Jane's drag that her drag is bad and that she's not good at drag? No, who am I to say that? You know what I mean? I don't do drag. And the same goes for Megami. Like, people think that because they're not vibing with her, she doesn't have the traditional TV archetype personality, that they can therefore say that she's not good at drag, when she hasn't had a legitimately shitty look this entire season. I know people disagree with that because they didn't like the fairy look, whatever. We've gone over the fact that we like that look. And, you know, there's kind of an inherent bias toward queens that are skinny getting away with certain things versus, you know, plus-size queens wearing certain things. But it's like, I don't know, a lot of it just seems very pointed and personal and for no reason. You know what I mean? She brought her authentic self to the show. You can't say that she didn't, you know?
I don't know, it just feels very mean-spirited. And I guess there are parallels to be drawn with, like, the Plain Jane of it all. But my argument would be Plain Jane is playing a game and I think knows exactly what people were going to be saying, or else she wouldn't have been acting the way that she was. Whereas, like, Megami is literally doing nothing wrong. Like, she is literally just vibing on the show, being herself, having some shady remarks here and there, but nothing too crazy. And, like, is not warranted all of this, like, negativity.
I think, and this is my last point on this, and it's something that nobody ever wants to hear. I've said it once on the barren wasteland known as Twitter.com. I feel like a good majority of the Drag Race fandom, a lot of them are young, queer people who don't have much exposure to life outside of the internet, and they probably are bullied or feel some type of marginalized in real life, and so they feel this sense of power when they can go on the internet behind some kind of anonymous bullshit burner account and make fun of people who put themselves out there on the show. They make fun of us, which, like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. Like, you make fun of the YouTubers, like, whatever. And they make fun of the queens, and they send hate because, you know, they don't have any kind of actual power in their lives. They don't know how to, like, interact with actual adults. And this is how they cope with that, and this is how they use this outlet to their advantage. And that's fucking loser behavior, and you should stop. Seek therapy, get a job, go out into the world, talk to an actual fucking adult. Don't, like, live your life behind this, you know, the Shea Coulee profile pic, and your name is, like, Cunty Slay, and you send, like, slurs to people in their DMs. Do not do that shit. Be better. Go be better for yourself and for the other people in your life. Pick yourself up and stop doing that shit. Thanks.
And I know that you're 1,000% right on that, because they never go after the people who have, like, armor in society. They never go after the skinny people, the white people, who, like, people will always stand up for. They go after the marginalized people who, like, in society, they just don't get the same respect as, you know, the skinny white people that are walking around. And it's easier to, like, go after them and not expect as much of a...
pushback.
Yeah, pushback. Because, like, oh, it's Megami. Who cares? She's the Eeyore of drag. She's some weirdo. Like, okay, so you're better... like, you think you're better than her?
Exactly. And you're not. She was on the show and you're not. You'll never be on the show. Your drag is rotted. Your wigs are rotted. And we hate
They don't
you.
Do drag. I would say 99% of these people don't even fucking do
yeah,
drag.
Yeah, they don't
so.
Do drag. They just, you know, have found this fandom and they want to just be bitches. So we love you, Megami. That has been the daily discourse from your local Megami defense attorneys. We work pro bono for all of the fat and queens of color who have this issue. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Call us anytime.
So diving into the episode, we come back and this is the Q/Dawn villain era when it comes to their edits, because Q gets her win and Mama does her like entire perspective attitude shift. You would think this woman just won $500,000.
She is vindicated, she feels valid, her drag is valid, and all is well in the world with Miss Q. And Dawn is a little shady boots about it.
When she said in the confessional, she was dressed as a fucking fairy, like, please. I'm like, Dawn, Miss Girl, let's look in a mirror. Like, that's literally your aesthetic. Like, if Dawn wore Q's look from last week, I don't think anyone would bat an eye. That's very, like, yeah, woodland fairy.
No, yeah, that was a really weird critique on Dawn's part, because I'm like, that's your whole thing. Your whole thing is that you're a little, like, woodland gnome creature. Like, what are we doing here?
And I feel like we as a society, and as a society, I mean Drag Race viewers, can look past the delusional edit. Like, it's mostly harmless, so people aren't really, like, on Q's ass, really. But Dawn's starting to get... the tide is starting to turn against Dawn a little bit with the fandom.
A little bit, yeah, and I didn't think I'd ever see that because Dawn fits the typical archetype that Drag Race fans will advocate for no matter what. And so, yeah, it is a little interesting to see, and I don't know if it might change if she wins a challenge or something. I could see that.
I mean, this is like another episode of a forgettable, fine performance, which is kind of what we've gotten from her the whole time. She's never horrible, she's never bad, but she's also never, like, the standout.
Right. And I'm interested to see how that's going to change as we go on.
So we get into the main challenge, which is the Rusical. This one inspired by The Sound of Music. And when I say inspired by, I mean that the main character looked like the bitch from The Sound of Music, and that was basically it.
I said from the beginning this is a weird choice, and... but it's, like, not even a choice because nothing in the product resembles The Sound of Music, really, besides the fact that there's nuns and German accents, kind of. Like, you know, first of all, I'm glad they took out all the Nazi shit, first of all. But, like, it ended up being a good Rusical, but I'm like, is it really directly inspired by The Sound of Music? I don't know.
Exactly. And, like, low-key... I think the best Rusicals are when they are taking directly from something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when they just have a clean slate and they're just making up their own shit, it's always bad. Fucking, the Social Media musical.
Terrible.
Horrible. But, like, Wigloose was good. This one was good because they have, like, I feel like it kind of sets them on a path and they can't go too far astray with, like, their crazy ideas.
Yeah. I want to see Chicago. Give me Chicago. Let's do it. Give me some Fosse choreography. Like, let's do it.
I want an Into the Woods. I think that would be funny.
Oh my god, Into the Woods would be so good.
Because that's just like a soap opera. You know what I mean?
Into
so, like,
the Woods could... and a fairy tale runway. Yes, please.
Oh, bitch, yes. And you could even do it kind of like, what is the challenge? The soap opera acting challenge. And
oh, Daytona Wind.
Daytona Winds. They could even do, like, a mixture of, like, Daytona Winds and Into the Woods, where it's, like, a musical, but it's also, like, very soap opera-y. I think that would be really funny.
Yeah. But this one was good. It was a little chaotic, and I was just like, there's a lot going on here. It was long, but...
It was 12 and a half minutes.
That's insane.
I feel like Wigloose... How long was Wigloose? Let's see. I feel like Wigloose was also very long. There was, like, more going on in Wigloose, so it didn't feel as long. Okay, so it was a minute shorter.
Interesting.
But this musical... This rusical... I kind of... My critique is that there were three big parts, and everyone else had nothing to do.
I think it was too many people for a rusical. In the modern era of how we're doing rusicals, where they're directly inspired by Broadway shows, I think they work with smaller casts of people. And this one came pretty early, and you could tell, yeah, that there's not a lot for every single person to shine with.
The top three were literally the three with the only, like, detailed characters.
Right. And, you know, that's the fun in, like, letting them battle it out for the parts, which they got to do in this episode, which always gives me anxiety every time I watch it, where I'm like, ugh, like, I don't like this conflict. Like...
Yeah, no, this episode was, like, literally from the jump, you have the cue and the dawn, like, shady moments, whatever, immediately cut to them fighting for roles. Like, this episode was really, like, nonstop slay.
Yeah, no, it was a lot to take in when I was watching, and I was like, oh my god, I'm glad they got bitches who can fight. That makes it shit more entertaining. nobody wants to just, like admit that, but it's like, in the past couple of seasons, have you, outside of, like, last season, where it was another, like, fighting over a role thing or whatever group they were fighting over, like, do you remember, like, the majority of the episodes outside of the challenges? No, you don't. And this is much better because we have lots of fighting and conflict, and that's what makes good reality TV, fuckers.
Exactly. So, this episode really focuses a lot on Plasma. Obviously, she ends up getting her second win, but she, after losing out on the part she wanted in the RDR Live Challenge, she comes in determined. She's like, I know what I want. I will fight bitches. I will be a cunt. I don't care. I want the Julie Andrews role in this rusical, and she ends up getting it.
Good for her. I mean, it worked out for her, clearly. I did like the little kind of section where, like, she was realizing how much of a part it was, and she was freaking out a little bit. I was like, ooh, this is interesting. This is juicy. But, you know, worked in her favor at the end.
She fought for the role with both Morphine and Saphira, who wanted it. And we see that this actually bleeds into next episode, because in the preview, Morphine is like, girl, I'm pissed I didn't get that role, because I would have done just as good as you. And Maya on the page goes, stop lying.
I mean... Maya's not wrong. I don't think Morphine could have handled that shit.
I do not see this role for Morphine.
That was a theater kid role. The right person took it.
This was perfectly casted, because I wouldn't want to see Saphira doing anything else than Mother Superior. I think Plasma was perfect as whatever the fuck her character's name was.
Mariah.
And Morphine, you know, was where she should have been in this.
Exactly. Musical. I think she should be grateful that she didn't get the lead.
They go to rehearsal with Adam Shankman, and randomly, Melissa McCarthy comes in with Baby Bell cheeses and Starbucks.
I mean, dope, but also, I think that was a little wasted because I would have loved to have her as a guest judge.
Oh, yeah. For Snatch Game next week?
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate the cameo. Maybe that was the only time she could come in and do it. Maybe she had other commitments and couldn't film a full episode. But I also was like, that is such a waste. Because she loves drag. She is a very, like, she's always been vocal about how much she loves drag. And I would love to see her on the panel. But no, we can't have nice things.
Literally, it's like when Lisa Kudrow came for, like, a quick second. And then I was like, oh, cool. We'll probably get her as a guest judge, like, next season. No, it's been years. No Lisa Kudrow.
The way Dawn said Molly from Mike and Molly, I said, girl. Not that that isn't a solid sitcom, but also put some respect on Melissa McCarthy's name. God damn it.
Well, and that's the thing about Melissa McCarthy is, like, she could pop up and someone would go Gilmore Girls, or someone would go Little Mermaid, or someone would go Bridesmaids. Like, she has so many, like, eras that people can, like, pull from, that she's, like, she's such an icon.
And you went Mike and Molly.
Mike and Molly?
Iconic. I mean, I'm glad it was, you know, it was a fun bit. I'm happy she was there. Made the rehearsal a little bit more fun. But also, yeah, how are you gonna learn choreography when fucking Melissa McCarthy is handing you cheese? Like,
also, I thought Adam Shankman was phenomenal as the choreographer and as a judge. I think he was really good. And, like, when he came backstage and Untucked, that was when I'm like, okay, cool. That makes sense that you would go back because you helped these girls, and now you can, like, give them more feedback since you were there throughout this whole process. So you're not just some random person that they have no connection to.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, my bar of horrible choreographer guests is Todrick, and anybody is better than Todrick, so, like, I was fine with this choice.
They have those choreographers who, like, come on and, like, want to almost play, like, a character of, like, the bitchy, you know what I mean? Which can be fun, but, like, it was nice that, like, they all had so many good things to say about him. He obviously really wanted them all to succeed and do well, and that was just, like, nice to see.
But why didn't they do Hairspray, god damn it?
I don't know.
You had the Hairspray guy.
Yeah. I think part of it is, like, okay, Tracy Turnblad, there's only one big girl on this entire cast. There's not many options for, like, casting.
You can't have a skinny girl play.
You can't have a skinny girl play Tracy Turnblad. Or fucking Edna.
There are role specific. If you let them pick their own parts, that could go kind of bad. There's race things, gender things. Yeah, okay. In retrospect, I guess I understand it.
They would have to overhaul it like they did Sound of Ruzik. So, like, it's a possibility.
Yeah, I won't count it out in the future.
Moving on to the performance. We'll talk about their performance in the Rusical and their look on the Flower Runway, which... top tier runway of all time.
I love this runway. It was so good.
Like, ever. So, let's start out with the lead, Miss Plasma. I love how she talks like that. She says every sentence like that.
Yeah, she's a lot. But you know what? She has a talent to back it up.
I love that bitch. So, she played the Julie Andrews character, which was in basically every scene of that Rusical. And then, funnily enough, on the runway, she does a musical-inspired look with her florals mixing together My Fair Lady and Funny Girl in this yellow and, like, orangey look. I mean, she ate.
Of course, Plasma's favorite musical is Funny Girl. That's all I'm going to say about that. Of course it is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I like this look. I think she did great in the challenge. I'm surprised... they gave her 2 wins, just because I feel like the show doesn't want her to be a frontrunner, and now she kind of is, you know what I mean?
The way that this episode went, I was either, like, they're going to give this to Saphira, which is what I think is expected, or they're going to choose to give this to Plasma and decide that they want her to be top 4.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though. I just still feel like the show is kind of not giving her that grace yet, you know what I mean? Like, I just have that feeling... but she's got 2 wins, and, you know, that was the hardest part. That whole thing could have fallen apart without her. So it was a very fair win, in my opinion. And I like this look. I think it's really cool. I'm going to give it a closed case.
The runway was literally, like, I would be stunned by one look, and then the next person came out, and I was even more stunned, and then I was more stunned by the next one. It was, like, nonstop, like, slayage.
Yeah, this was iconic.
And this look was one of my favorites. A lot of people are upset that Saphira didn't win this challenge. How are you feeling?
She would have been my pick, because I think her runway was better.
Mm-hmm.
Saphira would have been my pick to win this challenge, but there's, you know, there's time.
Well, and, like, Saphira had the winning role. Like, the best written, the funniest. Like, she had the best of her and Q, which is another reason why I'm surprised Plasma won, because she was, like, the straight girl.
I thought Saphira was going to win, and I would have been okay with that for sure, but... good for Plasma.
I would have been fine with her or Saphira winning. They both ate.
Yeah, they ate.
Close case. Up next, we have Saphira, who was Mother Superior. And then, I'm not going to pretend like I know flowers. I could call it my father, who loves flowers.
Aww.
To say what these are, but I don't know what this is. But she's a flower. She's a giant flower.
I don't understand how this bitch packed. Everything she wears is gigantic.
Did you see the tee?
Yeah, it was bigger, and she couldn't
fit. There were more, and you can see exactly where they would have been.
Yeah.
Even bigger, like, petals that simply could not fit on the main stage, so she had to take them off.
I am in awe. I do not understand. And every time she's asked about it, she's like, I'm as good at packing. Y'all ever play Tetris? And it's like, no, you had to have more of a strategy than that. You know what I mean?
She's from Pittsburgh, right?
Philly.
So it's not like she's close to LA where she can just, like... drive over these gigantic bins. Like, she had to fly this shit.
No, yeah, and they have a limit, I think, about how much they're allowed to take. But she ain't. She did well. She played up her, you know, theater opera sensibility. She was campy. She did the eye thing. She had the little bit with Plasma where she's, like, telling her to shut the fuck up while she's singing. She nailed every aspect of, like, the comedic performance. This runway is fantastic. One of my favorite of the whole season. All-timer, closed case, Stan Sofia Kristal. What a legend.
Probably top 20 runway look of all time.
So good.
Like, my guess is, here's my little conspiracy. I think they know Safira is going to win other challenges. Like, there's no doubt. Plasma, like, this is what she's really good at. And I don't think she's as much of a, like, we know she's going to win other shit. So let's give Plasma a win now while we have the opportunity. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's a fair assessment. I also, I don't know. I think maybe maybe Safira's plan to win the whole season and they don't want to make it super obvious out the gate because that was the Sasha Colby critique. And so Maybe they're like, all right, we're going to make this a little more difficult for her, which sucks for her, but you know.
Well, and they've been hiding Nymphia. Like, Nymphia didn't have a single confessional in this episode except her runway confessional.
Yeah.
Like, she was nowhere in this episode.
Yeah, maybe they're just trying to, like, you know, make it a little bit more fair narratively.
Maybe they were there and they said, oh, two of these girls are miles better than everyone else. How do we not make this boring?
Yeah, no, exactly. And they're doing a good job.
Close case for Miss Safira. Up next, we have another one of the nuns. We have Morphine Love Dion, who did a flower power runway. What did you think?
I think I could have justified Morphine being in the bottom in the sense that I don't really remember what she did. I feel like she just blended into her little nun group and it was fine. I think people were saying at one point that she didn't know the words, and I would be inclined to believe that. She didn't do anything super spectacular to me. And this runway is cute, but in comparison to everything else, it's giving very Halloween costume. I mean, she looks beautiful, but just, again, look at the material. You know what I mean?
Material, it's unlined.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it, overall, I'd say a cold case. And I love Morphine. I think Megami did a little better than her, which we'll get to. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. She had one really funny moment. She had like a bitchy response in the Rusical that was funny.
Right.
And then I was looking at, honestly, Safira, and I was looking at Maya more than Morphine in the Rusical. And this look is, like, I love this, like, vibe, like, the 70s print, like, I love. But it doesn't look the most expensive. The wig is my favorite part. That wig was sickening. But, yeah, I'm gonna give her a cold case, too. Only because at this point, my patience is up a little bit. Like, girl, we're 6 weeks in. We need you to either do something now or go home.
Sorry, Morphine. Do better next time.
How do we think she's going to do in Snatch Game?
Bad. I don't know. Unless she plays, like, a cunty character who's kind of like herself. You know what I mean?
I think she either, like, wins or is bottom two. Like, I don't see her just being safe.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes, but maybe I'll be proven wrong.
The last of the nunneries was Maya Iman LePage, who wore a very pretty rose gown on the runway with a very large headpiece.
I think the runway was cute. I think it's probably the best she's looked all season. I don't think she did as bad as some other people. I don't know why she was in the bottom for this, really.
I mean, the second that veil covered her face, I knew it was curtains for
Miss LePage. Yeah, okay, I forgot about that. That's valid. I just, still though, I'm like, I don't know. I think
this is very much like Wigloose, where, like, nobody did a bad job.
No.
Nobody was, like, subpar. Like, there were a lot of people who were just kind of there because they didn't have anything to do, but that doesn't mean they were bad. And that was Maya. The one thing that did go wrong was the headpiece, the veil in her face, which she easily could have played off, like, you know, tried to, like, make it a moment.
Yeah.
Like, frantically, like, you know, that would have been really funny, and that could have potentially put her on the top. But because she just kind of froze and then threw it back, That was enough.
Yeah, that was enough. And they don't like her, but they keep keeping her, so I don't really understand what's going on here with that. But, you know, I'll give her an open case. I don't think she did that bad, and I like this runway.
Yeah, I'll give her an open case. She definitely, like I said, she, like, her face is always beat and stunning. So I did, like, look at her a lot in the Rusical. Can I say something that might be a little bit mean?
Yes.
I don't think you cast Maya Amon LePage unless you expect her and want her to be a lip sync assassin.
No, that's fair. That's a very fair assessment, and they're getting their money's worth out of it, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Next up, we have the Von Trapps, who were the drag family of Plasma's character that she joined, and they were kind of like the ugly sisters who she like made pretty, but like, that was, like, the spiel, but then they looked the same. So it's like, and they're still weirdos.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Let's start off with Nymphia, who in the Rusical was obsessed with pine cones, which I thought was really funny. And then on the runway, I don't know what this material is, but it's, like, almost looks inflatable. And it's not inflatable, but it kind of looks like that. And it's this weird cactus. How do you describe this? It's insane.
Yeah, in the best way. It looks like she's wearing a couch, but, like, in a fun way. I like this runway. I think it's cute. I think it's camp. I think it's different for her. And I liked her performance. I mean, all I remember is that, you know, she wanted to fuck a pine cone or something. And, you know, valid. I mean, we're doing pine cones instead of bananas. That's nice. So, she was good.
I think she could have done a lot more with that role.
Okay.
Like, she had the, like, Pippi Longstocking hair.
Yeah.
She's constantly bringing out pine cones. She was just a weirdo, and I feel like she could have really amped it up a little bit more than she did.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it was, you know, apt for her, because she's, like, fucking weird. I mean, switch out pinecone with banana, and that's her all the time, so it's like, she didn't really have to do anything, I guess. But I'll still give it a close case, because I really like this runway.
Yeah, I think of the three, like, sisters, whatever they were, Von Trapps, like, she had the most material to work with.
Yeah.
But I feel like she was equally as good as Megami and Dawn. So, like, you know, this look is iconic. The video of her making it on Instagram is insane. And I hope we get more of Nymphia next week, because she was absent from this episode.
Slay, Nymphia.
Close case. Up next, we have Dawn, who was... she was she had nothing to do. She had nothing to do in that
musical. I don't remember anything she did. I literally don't remember.
Before I say this, I want to double check that. I don't think she wore different makeup. I think she wore her fucking Dawn look.
I think so too. I think
okay, so. Okay, so she, the shapes are smaller. The eye isn't as big, but it's the same.
Yeah.
Makeup, just a little bit subdued.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's fine. I think she did fine. And I think, you know, how do you describe this runway?
Do you like it?
I like it. I don't know if I like it for this theme. Derek.
I keep thinking, like, what if the red was all white?
And it's more of like a snow princess kind of deal?
Yeah, I don't like the periwinkle and the red. I feel like it's kind of clashing, like, a lot.
I kind of get what she was going for. It feels very, like, a specific storybook kind of reference vibe. I don't think it's enough flowers for a flower runway. She's holding the roses, yeah. And I think that she has blue flowers on her dress. But it's, you know, compared to everything else, it's not giving for me in the way some of the other ones are.
I would guess, like, ruffles is the category, if I just saw this.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't guess flowers. I like the actual look itself. For me, I guess she gets an open case because she didn't do anything egregious, but, you know, it's flowers. Like, go be, like, your woodland fairy self, like, with all the flowers on you, you know?
No, because fairies are lame.
Right, remember? Fairies are lame. Fairies are lame. Elves are cool.
I like this look minus the red, but I don't know what she did in the Rusical, so open case.
There you go.
The last of the Von Trapps is Megami, who was kind of like the nerd, and I think was easily the most, like, characterized of the three. And then on the runway, she did the gimmick of, like, oh no, I got paint on my wedding dress, so I'm just gonna wear my, like, negligee.
I think she did fine. I think there are two people who I can point to directly who did worse than her. We talked about one. We'll talk about the other one in a sec. I think she did fine. I don't know. There's like you said, there's not enough in this Rusical for every single person to do. And what she did have, I think she did well. She did the little nerd characterization. She had the joke about shaving her cooch or something like that. Like, you know, I think she did okay with what she had. This runway, I agree. I think she should have kept the other thing up, the dress a little longer to get the image, because had she not had that narration, I wouldn't have known that that was, you know, the concept. She could have kept that up a little longer down the runway. But I like what she had on. I thought the look itself was really cool. So I would give her an open case, personally.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely, the critique of, like, you always play the same character, like, I do see where the judges are coming from, but she did try to do something different. She was just shot down twice, so maybe she should have fought harder for the roles that she wanted.
Yeah.
Because she did kind of just end up doing the same role that she's been done doing. The runway look, I like it from the waist up. The bottom half is just, like, Leg Avenue. Yeah. I wish she added more flowers, like, down the legs, just, like, maybe, like, a couple. But I like the concept. She looked a lot different than everybody else, which was good. The makeup was a little crazy, but obviously she had to go from, like, one look to a different look in not that much time. But the highlight was highlighting, we'll just say that. The front of her, the center of her face was very, very white.
Yes, the highlight was highlighting.
So, yeah, I'll give her an open case. She did fine.
Yeah.
That brings us to the villains. The trio of villains. Let's start off with Tsunami Muse, who on the runway was an upside down bouquet.
I don't like this look. It's not flowers. There's no flowers on it. You really look at this and you get upside down bouquet. Be so for real right now.
When she said it, yes. Before then, no.
That's a cactus. That's a cactus look.
Literally, the only thing she had to do to, I think, make this really good is the fabric on the bottom should be a floral fabric. It's just like almost like a tie-dye kind of, like, you know, just a bunch of colors. If that was floral, yes. I would love this.
Don't get me wrong. She looks beautiful. Like, you know, she always looks gorgeous. I don't think she did that well in the Rusical. I think her characterization was not great. And her runway does not have flowers on it. She would have been my bottom pick. Sorry. Cold case. I'm right. Like, can you tell me anything she did? What did she do?
I disagree with you. I thought she was really good in the Rusical.
Oh my god.
I think she I think she played the, like, rich bitch fantasy, and, like, I watched, obviously, like, I think 3 times at this point, the Rusical. Plain Jane was fine, but, like, for playing a villain, you'd think that she would be, like, Cuntiana. Tsunami was giving, this bitch stole my lunch money in middle school, and that she's still that same girl. Like, she was really serving the villainy, in my opinion, in just the way that she was performing. And this runway, like, it's not... on most runways, this would be fine, but everyone else was just firing on all cylinders, so this one does end up being, like, one of the worst. So, I'm gonna give her an open.
I don't want to come off like a Tsunami hater. I don't know. I just didn't get anything from her in that performance. I think she did fine. She was perfectly serviceable, not memorable. And this runway pissed me off, because it's like, it's not... Put some fucking flowers on your runway!
Are you coming for the Queen of Untucked?
I guess I am. And it sucks because I like her and I think she's gorgeous. I think she's had some really cool runways. I'm not... I agree that she's been safe every single week. People are like, oh, why is Tsunami safe every single week? Because I'm like, can you name something that she should have been in the top for?
Can we talk about her and Megami's little tiff in Untucked?
Okay, somebody made a good point that it's like, why are you getting mad at Megami for doing the bare minimal amount of shit stirring when Plain Jane has been a massive cunt this entire time in Untucked and nobody says anything when she's an asshole? But Megami said, like, whatever she said, and it's like, oh, it's World War
III. I think it's because Plain Jane hasn't come for Tsunami, so Tsunami has no reason to speak up.
Yeah.
But the second that Megami was like, I don't know, like, they're looking like bottom three to me, she's like, oh, my name is in the conversation, it's over.
It's just forgiving insecure. I feel like she's just very insecure about the fact that she's been safe the whole time, you know?
Megami is the bigger person. She goes up and apologizes. I think that she shouldn't have done that because that ended the storyline and any reason for the judge, for the producers to want to keep her around. She should have been like, well, guess what, bitch? You did suck and you look ugly. That's not a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah.
Because then the producers would probably be like, oh, wait. Two people who have been in the background finally have a storyline. Let's see what this shakes out to be.
Yeah, that would have been smart. But, you know, Megami handled it in a classy way.
Very that. It was still fun. Like, everyone was, like, coming for Megami, like, at once. And I think she was very overwhelmed and, like, was not expecting. Because, like Morphine is constantly talking shit. Plain Jane is finally talking shit. Megami talks shit and suddenly everyone cares.
No, it was weird the way they all jumped on her. I did not like that.
So, it was a good Untucked. It was a really good Untucked.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Plain Jane, who on the runway did a Rapunzel look.
In the Rusical, she was good. I think she played, you know, she was supposed to be a bitchy lady, and she did that in a serviceable enough way. I like this runway. I think it's cute. I think it's camp. I have no issues with it. I guess closed case by those parameters.
I wish she was bitchier in the Rusical, since she's bitchier and Untucked than she was in that performance.
Yeah.
But this look, she looks so stunning. The mug, this hair. I mean, it's a big departure from everything she's done prior. But, like, I low-key prefer this to everything else that she's worn, for the most part.
Yeah. So she looks a little bit like Brooklyn. Like Brooklyn Heights.
Oh, yeah. And Brooklyn would wear this.
Brooklyn would wear this. Yeah, I like this. I like this look. I like the little photo shoot that she did with Jujubee as Mother Gothel. I was like, you better work.
Yes.
In Boston. I was, like, trying to figure out where that was. I was like, that looks like it was close to a place I used to live. But, yeah, she did. This was cute. And it was camp.
It's closed. Closed. And then last up, we have Q, who was the leader of the House of Bitches. And on the runway did, I don't know what you would call it. It's like crutches as arms. This like weird flower monster. She ate down. This entire episode, she ate down.
That runway, I fucking screamed, bitch. I said, you better fucking work. It looks so cool.
Well, like, I wasn't watching live, and you literally texted me, like, Q's runway!
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, I haven't seen!
It's so good. I love this runway. I think it's so cool. And she did well, you know? I was nervous for her, because we established that she's not great at moving around to music. And that it was required in this challenge, but she gave it the characterization she needed. I also think she benefited from taking that part because a lot of the lines in it were just naturally very funny. She used that to her advantage, and if she got a win, I wouldn't have necessarily been that mad about it. But yeah, close case for me.
Yeah, obviously close case. How do you feel about Choreogate, where Megami calls her out and is like, she was like, yeah, the judges loved my choreo. And Megami goes, what choreo? You just walked around the whole time.
That was hilarious.
While the rest of us were doing, like, intense choreography.
That was hilarious, and that was true. Megami, speak your truth.
So we see Plasma get the win, which was surprising, but I wasn't, like, feeling any type of way about. And the bottom two are Maya Iman LePage and Megami. And they lip sync to Flowers by Miley Cyrus and take two very different approaches to this song.
You know what? It's tough because, one, we've established that taking off your shoes is always a cardinal sin, so I thought this was going one way. But on the other hand, Megami interpreted it as, because Flowers is a breakup song, but it's like a happy breakup song. Mm-hmm. You know? So she was giving really emotional and sad, and that's not, it's not Flowers. Maya gave a better embodiment of the song, so I get it. But I also, they could have edited it either way. I think they could have done an edit where, you know, oh, Megami's taking her shoes off and they're not living and that's the end, that's it. Like, they could have done the edit of this two different ways, and they did it in a way that benefited Maya a lot, I think.
I think Megami, if she had started the way that she started, but then, like, we see the acceptance come and, like, the almost, like, the joy of, like, being out of that relationship. Like, she could have won. But Maya is just an incredible performer. And did the fucking penguin What are people calling it? The penguin dive?
Like, I was like, I hope, like, that went as well as it could have. I was like, that's, like, two steps away from ending in a head injury.
Well, and we have, did you hear about the España lip sync this week?
No.
So, Drag Cephalus was wearing mirrors and, like, shattered some of the mirrors.
Oh.
And the other person lip syncing, Jirigi, was, like, in the glass and ended up having cuts everywhere and, like, tore up her costume. Because there was glass all over the stage.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to, like, be careful and not hurt themselves. Jesus Christ.
I know. So, yeah, there was no drag emergency here, luckily. Yeah. But the medics were probably on site. The medics have to be on site whenever Maya is lip-syncing. Because someone said, like, she's killing herself. Like, she could die at any point. She's doing these, like, insane things. All she has to do is land wrong once. Bitch, it's over.
No, yeah, especially in those heels, like, damn.
If she wore a Mistress Isabel Brooks heel her entire career, I would not care.
I don't think, like, the shoes, like, it's always been established as a cardinal sin, but I don't think, in this situation, I don't think it was that bad. It was not that egregious,
no.
You know?
No. It's one thing if you take off your shoes to do, like, a park and bark or, like, a Pointer Sister number where you're just walking around. But she took her shoes off so that she could launch herself around.
She did what she had to do.
Yes, she did. Not that, what did Willem say about LaShawn Beyond? A web-footed duck?
Yikes. Yikes.
So, unfortunately, we say goodbye to Megami. And it is very sad. She's obviously very, like, upset. But she takes it like a champ. And we are down to our top 9.
So sad. R.I.P. Megami, gone too soon. I am nervous for Snatch Game. I can tell you that
I am not nervous for Snatch Game. Looking at some of the characters, like, it looks like it might be really good. Like, Q is Amelia Earhart, and Safira is James Brown. There were some really, like, funny ones where I'm like, oh, this could go really good. These are good choices.
Yeah, Dawn is Meghan McCain. Looks a little scary.
Yes!
Like, I get nervous for Snatch Game now every time it comes around because it's my favorite episode. I think it's a good challenge and people fight me on that. Because people always fight me and they're like, oh, it's not a good challenge. It is a good challenge. They haven't casted, like, comedy queens who are good at it in a long time. And I feel like that was definitely the case with the last two. I mean, Lucy did well last year, but, you know. I'm more optimistic than I have been, but I still always get nervous because I'm just like, tell me Tsunami and Morphine are going to be funny. They're not. You know what I mean?
Well, I can't remember. We talked about this in another episode about how, like, Gen Z comedy does not apply to things like Snatch Game.
And also, who was Maya? Did you see that preview? She's like someone's cousin or some shit. Like, it's not even a real character. Like, I don't.
It's what are we doing? Kim Jong Un moment.
Yeah, that should stop. People should stop doing that.
Or what did Anitra do? She did Gordon Ramsay, Gordina Ramsay.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Like, stop. Do a real person. It's an impersonation challenge. Do a real person.
I want someone to do Gordon Ramsay for real.
Yeah,
I want someone
just do
to,
real
to
Gordon
say
Ramsay.
RuPaul. What are you? An idiot sandwich.
In that same vein, somebody should absolutely do Simon Cowell. I feel like that's a perfect Snatch Game choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or Paula Abdul.
Or, George Santos. I mean, I guess that was too, in terms of filming, that was kind of too.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably happen next season, and if it doesn't, I'm gonna be upset.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, sorry, I was leaving my job as a gold miner.
It's literally perfect. It's literally perfect. Like, you can't not win with that. So, season, I'm expecting to see that. But,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
If Jan ever comes back, I guarantee you she does George Santos, because everyone says she looks like fucking George Santos. Oh, it's time to ask the question, Kayla.
Yeah.
Is it rigged?
I don't think so. I think we're still in the not rigged territory.
Yeah, I think that there were definitely options. I feel like you could give Megami's critiques to a lot of people of, like, we weren't getting enough. You were kind of off when you weren't on. Like, you know, they could have given that to a lot. Like, any of the people who weren't the main three, basically, in this musical. I think that Megami should be glad that she lasted as long as she did, not because of her performance, but because production is productioning.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, when the season first started, I'm gonna be so real, I thought she was gonna be, like, second out.
Yeah.
Just based on, like, the first episode and, like, the Eeyore of drag and, like, how they were editing her. So, like, the fact that she made it episode 7, top 10, like, that's good.
Yeah, and I'm glad we got a chance to see her shine. Follow Megami. Mm-hmm. We love her. We stan.
Eventually, when the NDAs run out, I will have her do something with me.
Absolutely, and that'll be wonderful.
So, I think that is all for this episode. Another banger. Season 16 is that girl. We all knew you were.
She's that diva.
And next week for Snatch Game, oh, I have to talk to you about this, too. We have a special guest next week that a lot of you have been begging for.
Oh, we do?
To come on the podcast. So, that'll be fun. And Kayla won't know until they show up. No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you right after.
Okay. But if right. I just didn't tell you. I was like, damn, what's happening? It's Black Boy again, and we're going to fist fight.
They just show up in the FaceTime call.
Hilarious.
It's fucking Jinx Monsoon, bitch.
Derek, where can the people find you?
You can follow me at Drag Detective everywhere. If you have yet to watch, my Riggery of UK 5 video is up, and the Unriggery is coming out within the next 48 hours of this dropping. So there's that.
Amazing. What about you, Kayla? You can find me at Kayla_says_YT on Twitter. I'm going to stop tweeting about Drag Race because everyone gets mad at me, I guess. I have a new video coming out this week. It is How the Internet Fell Out of Love with Justin Timberlake. It should be up as of the recording of this podcast going up, barring any kind of disaster. It might already be up now, so go to my channel and see if it is.
I am frothing at the mouth for that video.
It'll be fun. There's a lot of Janet vindication in it, so, you know.
Ugh, and that's my favorite song, is the praises of Janet Jackson.
An icon.
Thank you all so much for watching and listening. There's no video portion. It's just me in a blanket.
It's just, oh, you are in a blanket. I didn't even realize. There you go. You're cozy.
Well, when I recorded with Black Boy yesterday, he laid down on the couch with a blanket. Like, are you going to bed during this recording, sir?
I look a mess right now. You don't want to see me right now. I'm about to go to the gym.
Kayla,
this.
You always look completely fine.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Bye.